In today's episode, we're going to talk about if you can take progesterone with an IUD. I'm Dr. Davidson from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Mackey from Progress Your Health. So this is a question that has come up quite a few times over the years. A lot of these questions we get, they come in clusters, and I even had a pharmacist reach out. She was trying to do some research on this exact topic, and I haven't looked at the literature in a while, but she said she was looking on PubMed, and she couldn't really find anything of any substance there either. So why don't you go ahead and read the question from Tammy, and we'll just dive in.
Okay, so this is a question from Tammy, our listener. Hello, I searched for, can I take progesterone with my IUD? I can't find much, but I found your interview. I am 53-year-old female, 8 years into menopause. I started HRT in October of 2024, 200 milligrams of progesterone with 1 milligram of transdermal estradiol. I felt human again. I started bleeding a lot in January 2nd of 2024. It lasted for 2 months before I called my doctor. A transvaginal ultrasound revealed thickening of the uterine lining with some polyps. I had a DNC with a biopsy and a placement of an IUD in April of 2024. I stayed on the patch. My progesterone was reduced to 100 milligrams. I lost my sleep, and I have PMS-like symptoms since, just like the time before menopause. My OB suggested to remove the IUD, and it's only been 6 months, and to go back on 200 milligrams of the progesterone. My worry is this. Wouldn't I start bleeding again? Wouldn't my lining just react again? And it was a little over $2,000 to get this all done. Could I not just take 200 milligrams of the progesterone and keep the IUD? I'm trying hard to research this topic, and there is very little info out there. Thank you so much for reading this.
Yeah, she's kind of stuck between a little bit of a rock and a hard place there. Now, there's a few things that jumped out to me. I know there's a few things that jumped out to you. So why don't you start? Maybe give a little background about the IUD itself.
Sure. Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh well, I know there's a couple of types. So why would there be the kind of the big picture question? Why would it be an issue to take progesterone with an IUD?
Well, I wouldn't. You know, I would say like we had talked about before, and we talk about with our patients, is having an IUD is about keeping that lining of the uterus down. I mean, originally it's for birth control. Now, as a 53-year-old woman, she doesn't need to use an IUD for birth control, right, but that right. is kind of its original usage is for birth control. But the goal here is to keep her lining down because you don't want to thicken endometrial lining, which will cause all this bleeding, which is super annoying. Not to mention, if you have a thickened endometrial lining, that can be a risk for uterine cancer, especially if you're bleeding sporadically like that. So the idea between this IUD is to keep Tammy's uterine lining from thickening up and having those polyps. The idea between, and something that we do know is the IUD really does work a little bit more localized. It's not systemic through your whole system like it would be taking a progesterone capsule. So you can definitely see she wouldn't have the bleeding issues, but she definitely could have the symptoms that she was having with the low progesterone prior.
Right. Yeah, because you're, so I guess the question that I was getting at is that the IUD, there's two types. There's a non-hormonal type and there's a hormonal type, right? So we were assuming that this is the more common, this is the hormonal type of IUD, yep. Which is why it's a potentially a concern if she can take oral progesterone with an IUD that contains progestins.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, a lot of time, you know, the non-hormonal IUD, I mean, I don't really know anybody that has one of those anymore. There might be a few of them out there. There was a lot more probably about 20 years ago, but they caused a lot of issues. I had a lot of people actually had bleeding. They
A lot of cramping.
A lot of cramping. I think the body was trying to remove it, where the progestin one is, and there's a few different ones, you know, one with higher hormones, some with lower hormones, and it kind of depends on the woman who you decide that for, especially if you're deciding it more for birth control rather than a postmenopausal female. So I wouldn't say, you know, taking a progestin-based IUD would be an issue to take it with an oral bioidentical micronized progesterone.
Sure. I mean, that's ultimately what she's asking here is if she can do it together. And I just know that the progestin IUD is the much more common type. Like you said, the other one just causes lots of problems. If you're gonna consider an IUD, the copper-based or non-hormonal-based IUD sounds good in theory, but like you said, it just doesn't work out that well. It almost creates more problems than it ever relieves. So in this context, her question is, you're putting progesterone on top of progesterone in some respects. Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that you're necessarily putting it on systemically, because I do feel like that IUD is just working in that area of the uterus to keep that lining down. It's not going through the whole body systemically like it would be taking the oral progesterone that right. when she was taking the 200. I mean, and I'm not sure why they went from 200 to 100. I do believe, I mean, she could easily go back to her 200. So this is a little bit of a different case because we're looking at Tammy right here. She's already definitely has, you know, has a thickened lining when she was taking that estrogen. Now she has the IUD. So in Tammy's case, I would say keep your IUD and take the progesterone. She already has it there, because if she does remove that IUD, she's probably going to have the same thing happen
yeah.
again.
Yeah, the bleeding's just going to come right back.
Which I would love to continue talking about, but just on a quick little side, you know, side phase here, is somebody that doesn't have the IUD in yet, like before, like we had caught her before she had went in and had that IUD, it might just be as simple as just adjusting her hormones to reduce that bleeding so she wouldn't have that thickened lining.
Right.
But right now she already has an IUD, you know, why go in and take it out? That's definitely not my first recommendation when a patient comes to us and says, you know, I want to be on hormone replacement, I'm having some bleeding. It's not, okay, go run out and get an IUD. That wouldn't, right. you know, that would never be my go-to. But because she already has it, I would say it would be just fine for her to take her progesterone and then keep that IUD.
Sure. Now, I brought up, we are getting ready for this episode. We did a couple of takes and the dog barked and we had to sort of do it over again. But I noticed that she's on 1 milligram of the estradiol patch. At first it says 1 milligram transdermal estradiol. So is that biased? Obviously it wouldn't be biased.
I stayed on the patch.
Yeah. Then it says yeah. later that she said on the patch. So 1 milligram, that's a pretty hefty dosage. So her body is basically saying that dose of the estradiol is just a little bit too high. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you and I both are not really fans of the patch. So we would probably just transition her to biased of something like that. And then she wouldn't even need the IUD. And then she could still stay in her 200 milligrams of progesterone.
Well,
that
see,
respect.
That's the thing with the estradiol is estrogen itself likes to grow things. It likes to grow the uterine lining. So in the patch, when you think about 1 milligram of estradiol as a patch, that's totally different than a 1 milligram estradiol transdermal cream that you put on maybe your inner thigh.
It is like apples to pumpkins. It's like a completely different prescription.
Totally, totally different. Oh, she's so cute. She's playing with the curtains over there. That's Vivian.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, no, it is like apples and oranges. 1 milligram of a transdermal estradiol patch is actually pretty strong. And she said she's had, you know, she had the thickened lining, she had some polyps. And just for transparency, I've had uterine polyps before. I've had uterine polyps removed. You know, everybody is a little bit different when it comes to that individuality on how they're going to respond to hormones. So where Tammy probably is, her uterine lining is probably really sensitive to the estrogen, which is why it thickened up so fast and she started bleeding and got these polyps. Somebody else, their lining may not be as sensitive and they could tolerate a 1 milligram estradiol patch. But I will tell you from me, just my own personal experience. Now, right now I am in menopause.
Yes, you are.
I'm 51 going into 52.
You're full
blown
menopause.
So things are a little different, but prior to menopause, you know, I've had polyps. I have had polyps removed. I've had more of that estrogen dominant. I'm a little bit more sensitive to estrogen. So I know that for me is really balancing that progesterone, maybe not going as, you know, too high with the estrogen where somebody else, they might need more estrogen and a little bit, you know, different progesterone dose. So that's why, you know, we've always talked about hormone replacement really is an art and it has to be tailored to that individual, not just here, throw in a patch and let's see what happens.
Yeah, but in her case though, if she's on the 1 milligram patch, she could easily just go down to a lower dosage of the patch and then see. Now she's not going to know if she has the IUD in, right? She's not going to know where she stands until the IUD is removed. What do IUD stand for? Like 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. depending on the IUD, you know, so, now granted, it sounds like she felt pretty good with that patch, right?
But oh yeah. And she's still on the patch and she felt really good with that 200 milligrams of progesterone. She said she felt human again. I feel human again. We hear that all the time because the hormones, you know, can really make you feel good. Your sleep is good, your hair, skin and nails, your libido. I mean, it's, you know, hormones can really make such a change in someone's quality of life, not to mention, you know, bone density and heart, you know, heart disease, right. and it's good for brain, but you know, for quality of life, it's really good. So, but like I said, she had come in to me to see me and hey, I'm having this bleeding with these hormones, we would just would adjust the hormones to find that balance to keep that lining thin as opposed to putting in the IUD. So, you know, this question, we get this a lot. Yes, I believe you, if you have an IUD, you can take progesterone. But in terms of hormone replacement, an IUD wouldn't be my first go-to.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a kind of a gynecological approach. I mean, you and I have never put one in. It's just not our thing. You certainly haven't. You know, but you see it a lot, right? A lot of women in their 40s and 50s are getting IUDs, not for obviously pregnancy prevention, but for, you know, controlling their heavy bleeding or whatever the case might be. I just think, honestly, I think it's just about the patch. I think the patch needs to be changed to either a lower dose of the patch or to a different type of estrogen. But, you know, she said she felt really good on that. However, her body is telling her something that dosage of that estrogen, this is why every woman needs to take, or the rule, the number one rule for hormone replacement is you never give a woman unopposed estrogen because this is what will happen pretty much every time. Yeah. If she's just taking estrogen with no progesterone, she's going to start bleeding at some point. Now, what are your thoughts about the woman that has had the hysterectomy and they say they don't need progesterone? What do you think about that?
Oh, no, I think progesterone, just like what Tammy's saying here, is her progesterone got lowered. So systemically in her body, her progesterone level is lowered and she's having PMS-like symptoms like she did before menopause. She lost her sleep. Yeah, no, I think just because you don't have a uterus doesn't mean that you can't take progesterone. I mean, I love progesterone. Right. I love when I take my progesterone. It helps with so many things.
Yeah, yeah. If there is one thing that, you know, we would prescribe or use with a woman pretty much of, you know, any age, menstruating age or post menopause would be pretty much progesterone. I mean, that's the one thing that, now there's some women out there that don't tolerate oral progesterone. That's a relatively small segment. I would say, you know, the proverbial 80-20 rule, 80% of women, probably more like 90% is going to tolerate it just fine. And like you said, have those really nice resolution of some of those symptoms that come up in perimenopause and menopause.
And then just, you know, because we're talking about an IUD, you know, IUD is meant for birth control. So there are women in their 40s that are looking for birth control and you don't, and even I have my, you know, younger patients in their 20s and they're looking at birth control. I never say go for the birth control pill. I mean, yeah. I do feel like the IUD in terms of birth control is a better option than doing a systemic oral birth control. Yeah. Where, so I do have women in their 40s because they're, some of them are still ovulating, you know, they're chance of reproduction does go down, but there's still that chance and they don't want to take that chance. So they have an IUD, but they're also in perimenopause. As I do have women using the IUD for birth control, and we do add on some progesterone systemically orally to help with sleep, to help with the mood and the irritability and the brain fog. Actually, progesterone is a great hormone. It's like the unsung hormone for hair. So I do, so in Tammy's case, she's already postmenopausal, but you know, women that are maybe more perimenopausal using an IUD for birth control, I don't see any problem helping them through their perimenopause by giving them progesterone, bioidentical progesterone.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I still think her patch dose needs to change.
Yeah, or like you said, maybe even change it to a biased.
Well, I mean, that's more along the lines of what you and I would do is this dose is a little bit too high. Try a lower dose, try, you know, 0.05 milligrams, or just change it to a transdermal cream in general. That way she'd still get that systemic benefit, her sleep, her mood, all those things, hot flashes. But then she wouldn't have the bleeding problem once the IUD eventually comes out. She's not going to keep the IUD in forever.
No.
But she might use the hormones a lot longer than she's going to need to use the IUD, mm-hmm. To find that balance. I think that the estrogen dose needs to, either the type or the dose needs to change to some extent.
Like you mentioned about the bias. Do you want to explain what bias is?
Well, we've talked about bias quite a few times on the channel. So what she's using is just straight estradiol. The patch we've talked about, you know, can be pretty strong for some women just in general. Even though it's only 1 milligram, it still seems like it's stronger than that. When you go from the patch to a biased, you can't go from 1 milligram to 1 milligram. It's just really not a fair comparison. Biased is a combination of estradiol, which is what she's using, and another hormone called estriol. So you combine those into the same cream, which is why they call it biestrogen, two forms of estrogen. And that's what we predominantly use most of the time. I think nowadays, it's all over the internet. You know, there's lots of women that are using biest, but that's also where it is sort of dose dependent. You know, how a woman's body is, this is me telling women about their bodies, but a woman's body is sort of driven by estrogen. The more of it she has, the better she feels. Dose-wise, in her case as well, the body will sort of let you know when that dose of estrogen is a little bit too much. These bleeding problems will start to happen.
Yeah, so eventually when that IUD comes out, it's only been 6 months, so like I said, she's already got it. Keep it for now, and then just go ahead and raise up that progesterone. But at some point when the IUD does come out, going to probably need to readjust that transdermal estradiol. Like you had mentioned about the biest, I think a biest combination would be perfect for her, because the estradiol is great for so many things, the bones, the hot flashes, the brain, libido, but estriol is also really nice for the body too. That's really good for the skin. It kind of reins in some of the negative effects of estradiol, because she's got some negative effects like, growing the uterus. Sometimes even taking too much estradiol can cause you to gain weight. I've noticed a lot of women that go on the estradiol patch will put on about 6 pounds, and that's not fair if you didn't earn it. So at some point, probably revisiting that, Tammy would probably do really well with a biest. Maybe even if you're transferring her from an estradiol patch, because there is a bit of a transition there, you might go to like a 50-50 estradiol, estriol, but eventually an 80-20 would be really nice for her, because she did have such a thickened lining. Her body is so responsive to that estrogen that having something to balance that estradiol with the estriol, she would probably feel even better if we were to, but that would take a little bit of, like I said, a little bit of time and transition on that.
Right. You mentioned the 200 milligrams progesterone. Do you ever go above 200 milligrams, or is 200 milligrams kind of the cap of where progesterone usually is? Would it be worthwhile to go to 300 if she's bleeding? What are your thoughts on that?
In this case, she's already got the IUD, and like I said, keep it. But I have a few people that we do, and I know you do too, that are a little bit higher in that progesterone, higher than 200 milligrams. I don't feel like it's not that common though. Most of the time between 100 to 200, probably around 125 to 175 is kind of a really common number. 200 is a common number. Just because more with that progesterone, you're trying to keep that lining thin of the uterus, but adding in a little extra progesterone is really nice for anxiety, especially helps with irritability and anxiety. And like she had mentioned about the sleep, because it raises up the GABA and it helps you go to sleep. So I would say when you're working with those numbers of the 200 or beyond, that usually those are the people that I'm probably working more with, their anxiety, their sleep, their depression, their more of their mental health when you're working on those levels.
Right. Yeah. So, 200 milligrams, you could go higher if you needed to, but it's not going to be very common to go higher than 200 milligrams. So, you have anything else to add? Should we call this one, a wrap? I think that this answers the question. Now, granted, research-wise, there is not a lot of information that supports what you just said about this question about taking progesterone. So this is just based on your feeling, your thought process, your experience, because there is no research that really says you can do that.
No. When you're thinking, like I said, an IUD, it was originally made for contraception. That's what it's for. Right. Now they're using it as more of off-label to thin the lining for postmenopausal women. Nobody really, really knows, but I haven't had any troubles with putting people on progesterone with an IUD. In fact, when a woman's using it, maybe in perimenopause for contraception, for birth control, when they have the IUD removed, I do quite a bit, now that you say that, I do quite a bit of oral progesterone to just kind of help balance that out. It just seems like, even though the IUD technically is not supposed to go systemic, when women get their IUD out, they do have a little bit, it feels like a progesterone crash, like the sleep and the mood and the anxiety, that I kind of will bridge that by doing a little higher progesterone. And then as their body kind of gets used to it, then we can kind of go down a little bit. But who knows if there will ever be any research on this, because research is supposed to make money from the research. So I'm not sure.
Research is done for profit, not necessarily for in order to make profit, not necessarily for to gain knowledge necessarily. I think that's one thing that people need to realize. Any research that's published in a peer-reviewed journal, there's some type of profit motivation behind that. So you want to get answers to these types of questions that are really obscure, but there's no incentive for anyone to want to do that research because no one's going to pay for it. And especially if you're using bioidentical, you know, progesterone from a compounding pharmacy, even less incentive for someone to do that research. So I can see why this has come up a few times, because you look around, you really can't find anything that says yay or nay. Is it okay to do, or is it not okay? You can't really find a definitive answer one way or the other. So I think this one was really helpful. Hopefully Tammy and everyone else listening found this one helpful as well. Anything else to add, or we close this one out?
I think we can close this one out.
Okay. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Davidson.
Take care. Bye-bye.